we'll go ahead and get started. Okay. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the technology that makes this possible. And we pray that you would allow us that sense of meaningful connection, even at a distance. We do pray that you would continue to give us wisdom and insight on how we can be your ambassadors in our communities. And we pray you'd speak to us through one another tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Look at that. You bow your head for prayer. When you raise your head, there's more people. That's all. I love it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
That's great.
Am I in?
You're in.
Yes.
You're in. Hey, and Linda, you just had a birthday. Belated happy birthday. On Saturday, right? I have this handy dandy little app as I'm doing attendance. It tells me when people's birthdays are, which is really great. Anyway, okay.
Oh.
All right. So once again, we're going to try to follow our same format. I'm going to give you as much time as possible to talk with each other, but let's just start here. Okay, good. So I'm going to very briefly recap about where we've been, and then I want to talk a little bit about going forward, and especially some ideas of what we might do whenever the shutdown sort of safely comes to an end. So we're talking about putting it into practice tonight. So just as a reminder, we've been talking about what it would look like for your home to be the church on your street. We've talked about praying for our street. We've talked about and some different things in that topic. We've talked about supporting our street and trying to build community there. And we talked about serving our street and trying to meet the needs of our neighbors, whatever neighbors and street might mean. And we've defined street as any community you're a part of, right? It doesn't have to be your literal street, though it could be. And then last week, we talked about being spiritual on our street. And we talked about moving through the gears of conversation. So getting beyond just the purely casual to meaningful conversation and then to spiritual conversation. We talked about how to sort of live an authentic spiritual life and let people see into that part of our identity. And we talked particularly about prayer and offering to pray for people and sometimes even in the moment offering prayer for people. So tonight I want to talk about kind of putting some of that into practice. And I'm just going to give some big picture ideas and then we're going to get small picture and spend some time thinking about some specific things we can be doing. So big picture, I mean, the reason we're doing all of this, right, is to figure out how we can effectively share the story and the love of Jesus. And so that's our purpose and everything that we do. Our decision, the thing I've really been challenging us all with, including myself, is to own the responsibility for our immediate community. So we're going to talk about responsibility tonight a lot. And then we've talked a little bit about our enemies, the fear of inadequacy, the fear of rejection, the fear of awkwardness. And of course, we have the enemy. I think it's helpful to be reminded in the midst of all this stuff about being spiritual or in the midst of this stuff about supporting our neighbors or whatever it looks like, those fears are real. And it's pretty intimidating, I think, sometimes to offer to pray for someone or even to walk around our neighborhood and pray for people when they don't know we're doing it. But I want to suggest that those things are all stuff we're called to overcome, right? And the way we do that, of course, is with each other and with the Holy Spirit and with God's promises, right? That God promises to use us to accomplish extraordinary things in the lives of the people around us. Right, so just a little context of where we are. And so I want to think about our responsibilities. And this is stuff we've already discussed, but I just want to frame it slightly differently. So if we are the church on our street with our community, then it's not as though praying for the people around us is an extra thing we do. It's really something that should be expected of us, right? Just like you would expect any church to be praying for its members or praying for its community. So too, we really have a responsibility to be in prayer for our neighbors and for the members of our community. And whether they're aware of it or not, right? Whether that just is my personal devotional time or whether that is praying with my family or whether that is walking the streets and praying for people who don't know that I'm there, I really like this idea that we have a responsibility. We often talk about in our church the idea that we are a priesthood of all believers, right? That everybody gets to go to Jesus directly and through Jesus to God. You don't need a pastor for that. But the flip side of that is we are all expected to be priests. We are all expected to intercede for people around us. And so, and just as you would be shocked to discover your pastor never prayed, so too, we ought to assume that as the pastor for our street, we have a responsibility to pray for those around us. The same thing with that relational responsibility. You know, I wasn't here, but I heard stories of other pastors, maybe even an interim pastor who was here for a time, who didn't make any effort to be relational. Actually, I was talking with some clergy this week because that we were in the process of considering when churches might open again, and if they did, what would be different? And one thing we discussed was, hey, to avoid a receiving line at the end of service where everyone comes and shakes the pastor's hand, maybe you should preach, walk out of the service, and walk right into your office. And I thought, that just sounds awful, right? It sounds so antisocial. You wouldn't expect your pastor to do that. Because normally you have a relational responsibility, right? You expect your pastor to know your name and care about you and ask how your day was. And I think the people on our street, we have that responsibility for them, right? We have that responsibility to care about them and build some relationship with them. Again, we talked about serving our street, but I think we have an obligation and a responsibility to serve our street in meaningful ways, to notice needs and try to meet needs. And then, of course, I think we have this spiritual responsibility we talked about last week, to say it's not above and beyond. It's not something Herculean that I would offer to pray for someone, but I hope it becomes something that's just sort of normal for me. I just normally think, oh man, that's terrible. I'm going to pray for you. Can I pray for you now? And I don't know, saying we're all there now. I'm saying, you know, what if we framed this whole conversation not in terms of, oh, that's what super Christians do, but rather in terms of, oh, that's what Christ kind of expects of me. He kind of expects me to love people in those meaningful ways. Okay. So, just a big picture kind of thought. Now, I really want to spend some time tonight thinking about what we do next. And you know that we've been using this curriculum from Dandelion Resources that I really have enjoyed. And they pull out two big ideas. One of those really doesn't have to wait until the sort of shutdown pandemic stuff is over. One of them does. So the one that is probably best done after the pandemic, is what I really love. And it's what they call gratitude dinners. And the gratitude dinner really simply is, you know, when this is all over, who are you gonna break bread with? And I just, because I love it so much, I wanna share this quick little video. It's about 4 minutes that they put together that I think really captures the power of this idea. And maybe will help us as we think about whether we might be called to a gratitude dinner of some kind when things kind of go more back to normal. So this is Hannah and Alex Absalom again.
Hello, I'm Hannah Absalom.
And I'm Alex Absalom.
And we're gonna be talking today about just thinking about end of lockdown.
Yeah, and so what we want to do is suggest one specific activity that you can do, which is very easy, what's very doable. You, and if you're in church leadership, you can get your community to do as well. And we're calling it a gratitude dinner. So it's a gratitude dinner. So Hannah, talk a bit about just kind of the bigger picture of what a gratitude dinner, well, it's kind of the why behind it, really, I think.
So basically, we were thinking it would be a good opportunity to get together physically with some people. There's still going to be social distancing involved. But I think this is such a historic moment that we are living through that, you know, our children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren will be talking about this as a moment in history. like 9/11 or whatever. And so it's what went on during, but okay, what happened after? So I think remembering who you had some of those first meals with or first got together with is going to be quite momentous. Mm. So it's about thinking who are you going to want to actually be with in person. So of course we're really going to have Christians who are going to be thinking, let's get together, let's just enjoy company, maybe pray together, worship together.
But which is the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely want to do that.
We can't wait, brotherly encourage each other. Christian families. But then we also want to encourage you to think about those people who are not involved in church life, who are still hungry for community, and it's a really good chance to love to reach out to them.
So, well, I suppose really what we're dreaming of is that we as Christians can be the ones who are the first to invite our neighbours to come and eat with us, or we're going to eat with them. And I think it's going to be like this. Imagine in 10 years' time, and you know, our lost friends, your lost friends, they're reflecting back and they say, and someone says to them, who did you first do something social with after the lockdown ended? And they get to say with a glimpse, oh, we had this amazing meal with some friends of ours who were Christians. And so that's what the dream is. So we want to cast this vision for gratitude dinners. Now, when we say dinner...
So it may well not be a dinner itself. I think there's something powerful about food, but if you're eating together, it may well be actually a backyard or a front yard cookout where you can still maintain some social distancing, because people are going to be a bit wary about that. So it's respecting other people and where they are and how seriously they take all this and how much distance, physical distance, they still want to maintain. But it could be some sort of cookout, it could just be drinks on the front lawn, it could be a cocktail party, it could be a cup of tea, which is what we Brits will certainly be doing.
Absolutely, yeah, it could be brunch. So do what works for you. But I think that the feel of it needs to be a time of celebration. Mm-hmm. I think if you can make it feel, have elements of a feast. So that's a biblical thing to do, by the way. And I think allied to that is gratitude. And so here's what I think it's going to feel like. It's going to be this place which is going to feel almost like a place of worship. It's going to feel... perhaps almost like a sacrament, in the sense of, in the sacrament, so as Christians, the sacraments for us, for Protestants, is baptism and communion, but they're a means of grace. In other words, there's something about them which you encounter the grace and the goodness of God beyond the actual things themselves. And I think that first meal, those first few meals we get to have, and as we invite our neighbours in, I think it's going to have a sacramental element to it, where there's this time of rejoicing, of thankfulness that we've survived and God's been good. Obviously, we're not out of the woods yet. It's a long journey ahead, but there's also a sense of hope for what's to come. It's almost like we were discussing yesterday, and we said it almost feels like this is a way marker. Mm-hmm. So we're not at the end of the journey, but it's one of those, when you're on a long hike or a long walk, you get these certain points where you go, this was a point we were looking forward to get to.
A significant moment.
Exactly, and it's a moment to pause and to be grateful for what you have done and to plan to move ahead.
So I love that idea. I mean, that's really simple, right? But I love the idea of saying, this idea of being church on our street isn't just for the shutdown. It's also for life after shutdown. And what will that look like for us? And I don't know when shutdown ends, right? Because you got to say that on your own. I like the way they said that. But I do think when we sort of emerge from our homes, there's going to be a feeling of relief and I hope gratitude that we survive or things go back to normal. And I think, boy, whenever that moment is for you, who do you want to share that with? I love that question. And maybe it's not just my family or the people that are already in my church. Maybe there's somebody on my street, in my little community, whatever that looks like, that I really want to share that time with, even if it's as simple as, hey, we're having a couple drinks on the front lawn, right? Or I'm pulling out the grill and I'm doing hot dogs and hamburgers and come join us and let's all take a moment and just mention what we're thankful for now that we've come on this side of it, right? I really love the gratitude piece of that idea, right? That, you know, how am I expressing gratefulness because hopefully things are turning a corner for the positive. So that's a really tangible, kind of straightforward idea of one thing that we might do after the craziness starts trending back to normal. Another great idea that I also stole from Alex and Hannah is a little more ambitious than dinner, but it's a cool one. And this is sort of a what they call an outdoor street prayer or a neighborhood prayer meeting. And this actually is less ambitious than it sounds, but it's kind of ambitious. I've heard about this for years. So a couple of years ago, I had the privilege of hearing Alex Absalom speak at a conference. And he talked about how his family, every year when the school year starts, they invite all their neighbors to bring their school-age kids, and they just do a blessing for those kids, right? And it's, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. It's not a long, drawn-out affair. Many of them are Christians. But everybody sort of likes the idea of blessing their kids and the teachers and the schools as the school year begins. And so they just have sort of made that a tradition on in their little street, in their little community. And I love the idea of doing something similar when things start turning a corner for the positive, right? Again, this doesn't mean bringing people into your home. We can still maintain social distancing. But to say, hey, you know what? I think it would be cool if we said a little prayer for thanks and we prayed protection for all of us as we start going back to work and start going back into our normal lives again. And what if we meet at 3 p.m. on Sunday for 15 minutes and we can socialize a little bit and I'm happy to say a little prayer. We can share prayer requests. Boy, I think that has incredible potential and power to impact people in all kinds of really neat ways. This isn't something that has to happen after shutdown, right? So this could be something that you did if you did good social distancing, even while people are still feeling like they want to stay isolated, and you can be praying for the end of the disease. We're not going to get into it tonight, but Alex and Hannah put together a whole lesson just on this topic, which I really love. And so we've posted that to the church website, so you can see that along with that video we just watched and a little more about the gratitude dinners. Let me see if I can share that with you really briefly so you can see. So if you're interested in this sort of outdoor street prayer idea, they have a wonderful little handout which you can get on our website that talks about why and how to do that. And it even gives you some really basic steps about, you know, what you might pray for. And if you wanted even some language, you know, here's how you might do a prayer of gratitude. Here's how you might do a prayer of intercession. It's really helpful. And I love this idea of saying, hey, let's gather our little community together and let's do a 5-minute prayer. That's kind of what church does, right? We pray for each other and we come together to do that. I recognize that there's going to be some people who are, if you're going down this road, there's things you have to navigate, right? So when you invite people, how do you invite people in such a way that it feels inclusive, but it's still clear that this is a Christian prayer, right? And they have some suggestions and guidance for that as well on this little handout that I encourage you to check out. But I just love this idea, and I'm hoping that my family's going to try this in the next few weeks of just inviting people, anybody who wants to come and say a little prayer together. So two really cool ideas that Alex and Hannah have, but certainly not the only ways that we can continue to be the church for our street as we move back into some normalcy. A whole bunch of other things that we can be doing that are very meaningful. Obviously, once we have church and programming and things again, inviting someone to go with you to church is a huge deal. Inviting someone to go with you to Bible study is a huge deal. I hope, Kay and I were talking about this just before everyone got on, I hope that we will continue to offer some of these Zoom options for some of our programming, even when we get back to live programming, because there's a number of folks that just physically can't make it, but might be able to participate if they're at a distance doing this. So you might even invite someone, you know, the easy entry, come over to my house and we can watch church together on my screen, right? And ease them into the process of coming to church. I really love the idea of inviting people to serve with you. Right. So maybe there's somebody on your street that you've got enough of a connection with where you want to say, hey, you know what? We're doing this awesome thing called Hearts of Hope, or we're doing this incredible food pantry, or we have this Christmas dinner and we really need some extra volunteers. I'm going to go. Would you be interested in coming and helping to serve food or serve meals or sort clothes or whatever it might be? Sometimes serving together feels safer than going to worship, or feels safer than doing Bible study, right? Because you're contributing and there's no expectation that you have to have all the right spiritual answers. Maybe you serve together at some place that's not church, right? Maybe you say, hey, you know what? I'm really involved in the warming center, and I'd love to have you come help me sometime there, right? Or maybe there's even someone else on your street, we talked about this before, who needs help that you can enlist someone on your street to help you help someone else on your street, right? But serving together is a real gift. You know, there may come a time when it becomes safe to do so. I'm not sure it is yet, but when it becomes safe to do so, I think it can be less scary sometimes to go to your friend's house or your neighbor's house or your coworker's house than it is to go to their church. And so maybe you say, hey, you know what? The three of us at work are really enjoying hanging out together. I'm just getting ready to read this book. I've heard it's really good. You want to do like a little book club together? It's this Christian book, and you know, I'm not going to rub it down your throat, but I think it might be fun. And create a book study group, or create a Bible study group, or just create a time of prayer and invite people to join you in your home. Again, when it's safe, I think that's really powerful. And there's an intimacy that you get in a home, and a comfort level you get in a home that's different than you experience when you're in the church building. Maybe it's as simple as saying, there is someone I connected with during the shutdown because we walked together, or because we saw each other more often when we were working in our yards, or whatever that might be. And I'm going to make an intentional effort to maintain that connection even when things go back to normal and I'm not at home as much, or I'm not walking as much. Right? And maybe that's as simple as saying to that person, I have really enjoyed getting to connect with you. I would like to make sure we maintain this connection when we kind of go back to normal life. Mm-hmm. All of those are really, simple ways that we can continue to work as the church and serve as the church on our street, even as we move back into a season of normalcy. Now, I realize we're going to move in and out of normalcy for a while. It's not a linear process. But I didn't want this sort of idea of being the church for your street to feel limited to this pandemic time. I think this pandemic time is a season of opportunity, but I think the calling to be the church on our street will go way beyond it. So that's kind of what I want us to think about tonight a little bit, is how we kind of take next steps, especially after the shutdown, to continue to be that church on our street. I just wanted to, in my part tonight, this is a famous photo of Harry Truman, and I always loved that quote, "The buck stops here." They had the desk in the Oval Office, and you know, I just think, what if, back to that responsibility idea, what if even after the pandemic we said, hey, when it comes to caring for the people on my street, the buck stops here, right? It's not the church universal's job, and it's not the staff's job, and it's not United Way's job, it's my job. And maybe what I do is to connect them to larger helps and aids, that's wonderful. But maybe part of being the church on your street is saying, hey, I am the pastor for this community. The buck stops here, right? How am I caring and loving and serving them with the story and love of Jesus? Okay, so let me pause there for a moment before we get into our small groups. And I'm just curious if there's comments or questions for all of us while we're together. Any thoughts or comments before we break out into discussion groups? Okay, that's great. So then I'm going to pause our recording, and I'm going to send you in your rooms, and then I will broadcast you some discussion questions And like last week, I'm just going to pop into some rooms and be there for a little bit and then pop out. If for some reason you get kicked off and you can't get back into a room, text my cell phone, because if I'm in a room, I can't see that you're kicked out. Okay, so just text me if you get.
I'm not promising I'm going to do everything, because it's going to take me a long time to get from A to B to C, let alone all the way where these guys are from. That I almost wish I had a little ESL, English on the bottom. I don't hear everything that they say.
Yeah, the British accent is strong with them. Yeah,
it's hard to understand a lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny that it's the same language because it sounds so different.
Very much.
So, very popular. Okay, one more thing.
Please.
Oh, I didn't see them.
We have one more thing, if you please.
Please do. Go ahead.
Okay. We are inviting next Wednesday at 6:00, everybody to our driveway, bring your own chair for a gathering in prayer.
Awesome.
Oh, nice.
We will be sending you a text, and we'll see if that creates any stir in the neighborhood.
Fantastic. That's a great idea. Love
it. You gotta tell us where it is, or
I'm gonna even bring my good green chair.
You can't bring the lounge chair, you might fall asleep.
Oh no. This one's really comfortable though. It's one of those, what do they call them, director kind of chairs where you can lean back and not fall over.
Yeah.
The address is 613 Birch Street.
613?
Is that Rothschild?
Yep. 613 Birch. Send your email.
Yeah. Herb, okay. I'll be there as long as I can be an Indian and not a chief.
Yes.
Oh, Bunga.
That's awesome. I love it. Yeah.
I thought you were going to be the priest.
No. You're the priest. You're the pastor on your street, not me. I'm only pastor on my street.
Answer.
Yeah, awesome! I love that. That's great.
Are you inviting this as a group, or can we invite a couple other people?
Sure,
you're going to invite other people. We got a big street. We can go on the curb if we have to.
Great.
That's at 6:00.
I know the chief of police at Rothschild really well. He is my son's best friend in high school, so
perfect.
I'll make sure we don't get arrested.
Because I keep bringing them donuts.
Oh, they like donuts.
Greg.
Be careful with that, Gary. I knew the a couple of captains of the police in Norfolk, and they always said, if you ever get pulled over, don't tell the arresting officer that you know me, because I've told any officer under my command that if somebody says, I know Captain So-so, they should just bump your head on the way in the door. That's the only credit you get.
Got it.
That's great. Oh, Herb, I love it. I'm super excited.
That's a great idea.
I have heard, that's another great example, but I've heard some really awesome stories from y'all about how you've been putting things into practice. And so I know you've shared those stories with each other, but Gary had a great idea of, if there's a way for us to do to the church or even just to each other, a little testimonial about what's been meaningful for us. So I don't expect everyone to do this, but if you have a story like Gina, you emailed me, or like Linda, you mentioned when we were in your group or whatever, that you want to share. If you email that to me, I can get it out to the rest of the group. And I just think it's fun to hear how those things are happening. So I'm not looking for, building St. Peter's Basilica. I'm looking for Joan, you Santa, making masks for people in my community. And now I'm going to start praying for them when I give out the mask. That's that is an awesome testimonial to my mind. So if you have a few of those things and want to shoot me an email this week, I would share it with this group. I think that'd be really neat. And with your permission, I might share it beyond this group as well. So. And I can always change the names to protect the innocent. So,
that's innocent.
Yeah, great.
It's always good.
Always good. I know we're almost out of time, but other thoughts from our groups that you want to share with everybody while we're together? I heard a lot of great conversation everywhere I was. But. Well, then we'll share our good ideas with those testimonials. And I think, you know, I guess my hope would be, I really enjoyed this class a lot, and I partly enjoyed it because it was so, for me, it was very practical. And so I guess part of my hope would be that we all continue to, like Gary just said, take small steps forward, right? You don't need to do something extraordinary, but just something, what's the next right thing for me in this process of owning my responsibility as pastor for my street? And I am absolutely convinced that even if the 15 of us or whatever did that, it would be incredible. I think if we modeled that for our whole congregation and our whole congregation did that, it would be transforming for our community. So I'm really excited about what might come from this. So thank you very much for being a part of it. Thanks to Alex and Hannah and their wonderful British accents for all their great ideas. And please do go on our website. Want to get any of those of their information sheets or any of the videos that we've shown. If you couldn't understand them, you want to watch the game with subtitles, they're all on our website, so you can find them there. Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks everybody. Can I close us in a little prayer?
Please do.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we are so incredibly excited to own the responsibility of being the church on our street. We are so incredibly excited that we get to touch the lives of the people that maybe people we know well, maybe people we're just coming to know. And even in the incredibly awful things happening in the midst of this pandemic, it is so encouraging to see that you are still working good and using us to work good in the lives of people around us. And so keep using us, Jesus. We want to be your hands and your feet. We want to invite others to know your story and experience your love. Thank you for loving us, for your life and for your death and for your resurrection and for your kingdom, which we get to be a part. We pray all this in your holy and amazing name. Amen.